Lord, we're so thankful this morning that we can worship you in freedom and have this ability, Lord, to proclaim not only your goodness through song, but now we have the privilege of opening up your word and allowing you to be our teacher this morning. So please come, fill this place with your spirit, Lord, and help our hearts to receive the word that you have for us today. So God, bless this time now. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Good to see everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, sup. All right. This morning, we just want to make sure that we welcome you once again. And for those of you visiting for the first time, we're blessed that you are here. We also want to give out a shout out to those who are watching online, especially in Duchesne County. We're blessed. We've discovered that there's a group of families that are actually watching the service right now along with you. So that's a huge, huge praise report. So on the count of three, say, what's up, Duchesne? One, two, three. There you go. Hopefully you're blessed by that, guys. Today we're going to be in the book of Galatians. We're going to continue our study. And while you're turning there, if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We'll make sure that you can get one to follow along. And if you do not have one personally, consider that a gift from us to you. And so while you're turning to chapter 3, I have a couple of things that I want to just share with you really quickly, along with the couples fellowship that we introduced today, Pastor Matt. We also are planning to have a couples conference here in St. George. How many of you are aware of Focus on the Family Ministries? You guys? Awesome. Well, listen, on March 21st and 22nd, we will have a conference for married couples. It's called Resist the Drift. And a couple is going to come who's connected with Focus on the Family, and they're going to walk us through several sessions of marriage. And so we want to encourage you to come on out, sign up for it online. And we want to make sure that you know we are wanting to bless you as families to keep it as low as possible as far as the expense. And we also want you to know that we are going to provide childcare this time. So no excuses. We would love to have you come on out and join us. So please mark your calendar for that. And then also today, for those of you who may not know this, today is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And I just want to share this with you because many of us may not know this. But today, I'm going to just read a clip that the Well Pregnancy Care Center has given to us. And today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. On January 16th, of 1987, President Ronald Reagan signed a proclamation that read, "I call upon the citizens of this blessed land to gather in homes and places of worship to give thanks for the gift of life and to reaffirm our commitment to the dignity of every human being and the sanctity of each human life. Thus, every January, we will take a Sunday to remember the value of every human life." And praise the Lord for that, right? So today, if you have the ability, we want to invite you to come or drive by the Well Pregnancy Care Center. They're going to have an open house where they can share more about you, about this day, and how you can get involved. And so it's a ministry that we support and we're thankful for. And so continue to pray for that. And as we do, we're going to pray for our service. We're going to pray for God to meet us where we're at. You guys ready? Let's all stand if you can. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 26. If you're there, say amen. All right. Can I just tell you guys, by the way, you sounded amazing as we were worshiping the Lord. So praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Father, we thank you again for this time. Please speak to us. We want to know how this passage, Lord, connects to our life today. And as believers, as followers of Christ, to see the inheritance that you have given us. And so I pray, God, speak to us, reveal your truth, touch our hearts, and change us from the inside out. And it's in your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So for those of you who may be just joining us today, I'm going to do a short recap of what we learned last week. But Paul basically explained what the purpose of the law was. And of course, we've been going through this book as Paul has defended not only his apostleship, but the true gospel message. And of course, there were some false teachers that were coming into the church, wanting the Gentiles to kind of go backwards in a sense of becoming a Jewish person first, converting to Judaism, then being circumcised, then believing in Christ, then you can receive salvation. Then you can have this amazing gift of God's promises. And so he's been defending that. And last week we looked at the purpose of the law was to reveal sin because of transgression, to help us all see what sin is, and then to see our need for a Savior. We saw last week that it's a temporary thing. It's not permanent. It was given to us for a specific time, so it served its purpose. But then also, Paul revealed that it was a tutor for us, preparing us for the coming of Christ, preparing us for the coming of the seed that God promised Abraham would come and be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And so what we discovered was this, that the law that these false teachers were trying to encourage the church to start following, the law in itself cannot change you. The law in itself cannot give you the power not to do the things that God says don't do. It can only reveal to you, again, how messed up we really are, okay? And so not only did it reveal what sin is, but it was to point us ahead to who Jesus is. And so now he's going to explain the blessing that we have because of faith. We just looked at the law, can only point out sin, can't change you, can't empower you, cannot give you life. That's what the law will do. That's why it's a curse. But now Paul's going to explain the beauty of faith. And so as we pick up in verse 26, notice this. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And listen, just reading that alone, we should be saying amen. Okay? Paul is continuing to prove the blessings and the benefits of what happens when a person puts their trust in Christ Jesus. So through faith in Christ, this is what he says, you have the blessing of being called sons of God. What Paul just shared, again, was opposite of what the law declares, what the religious leaders and these Judaizers were teaching. They once again were pointing out and focusing people back to what the old Mosaic law was demanding of people. And what I want us to understand and know, do you realize that even in obedience to the law, you can do it with the wrong heart? You guys believe that? You know that? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. I remember a pastor sharing this one illustration about a dad and his little daughter in a car. And the dad told the daughter, listen, you need to sit in the back seat and you need to put your seatbelt on. And the little girl was very adamant. And dad, I don't need to wear a seatbelt because I'm in the back. And she had a little bit of an attitude. And so dad said, listen, I'm not going to move the car until you put your seatbelt on. If you do not wear your seatbelt, it's against the law. And daddy will get a ticket. Do you want daddy to get a ticket? No. But then she also said, but I don't want to put a seatbelt on. And so he said, listen, I've asked you twice. No, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, you need to put your seatbelt on. It's for your own good. It's for your safety. So I am not moving until you put the seatbelt on. So the little girl was huffing and puffing, and she finally sat down, and she put the seatbelt on. Click. And then she says, daddy. And he says, yes, princess. I just want you to know, I may be sitting down, but inside, I'm standing up. You can obey the law and have the wrong heart, and it means nothing. And that's Paul's point here. Because of what they were saying that Gentiles must do, you can do all of these things, and it doesn't mean anything if your heart is not right. And when we look at the gospel, this is what we understand. There is only one gospel, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came into this world to finish the work of redemption, to give us this amazing ability to have a right relationship through his death, his resurrection. And because now he's raised from the grave, he proved that Satan, sin, death, hell have no dominion, have no power over him. He is alive and sitting at the right hand of God. Amen. And because of that, when you put your trust in that, there is nothing that you did to discern this amazing blessing of the gift called everlasting life. So this is Paul's point. Whenever you desire to take God's word, take the gospel and add anything to it, it is a false doctrine. It is a false faith. It is a false teaching. It is a work-based faith, which means you do this or don't do this to earn God's favor. That is not the true picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Paul said once again, through faith, not because of what you do, it's because you put your trust in what Christ has already done. And so the blessings that we have is this. As believers, as a church, when we put our faith in Christ, not only are we called, again, sons of God, it's for everyone. Please hear that out. It's for everyone. Today, we're living in a time where everybody may have a different opinion about God, and many are very vocal and say, God doesn't love me, and that is far from the truth. Because God so loved the world, he loves everybody. And for all who put their place their faith in Jesus again, this plan of redemption is a beautiful gift. And so not only do you get to be called sons of God, but you also now become a part of God's family. Listen, this is a beautiful sight to see this room filled with people. And as a believer, as believers in Christ, this is what the Bible says. You and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. How do we see this in the scripture? John chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. Notice what it says. He, speaking of Jesus, came to his own, the nation of Israel, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, speaking of Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who would believe in his name and what he did. God says, you are now, as you are, have been adopted. You've been welcomed into my family. Can I just share something really beautiful with you? You have not been chosen by default. Okay? It's not pleasant to be chosen by default. Okay? Let's go way back. Okay? Elementary school. Right? You're on the playground and you want to play whatever sport that you're got 20 minutes to play. And normally, whatever sport it was, you had the two best players as captains. And then all of a sudden, those best players knew other good players by name. Oh, I'll take Johnny. Oh, no, I'll have Matt. Oh, no, let me get Josh. Oh, no, I want Guy because he's got a cool-looking beard, you know. They knew him by name because they knew how to play. But then when the crowd starts dwindling down, they're all like, what do you think? You know, he kind of looks like he knows what he's doing. Like, he could pause. And then it's like, hey, you, what's your face? Come here. You're on our team. Just sit over there. We'll call you when we need you. Is that a good feeling?
No.
Praise the Lord, I was never that kid. But you guys get my point. It's no fun being picked by default. And that's not the case with God because he loves you. He loves you with all of your imperfections, with all of your mess ups and mistakes and everything that is about us, he loves. But here's the beauty. He loves you too much to leave you that way. Come on now. This is good stuff. And I pray that you would realize to those who believe, he has welcomed you into his family. And as he welcomes you, he's going to love on you. And that love is going to lead us into seeing the beauty of what life can be when we include him in it. And so not only do we have this blessing of being called sons or daughters of God, we are family, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. The next blessing that we see in verse 27 is this: through faith in Christ, all are baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And what's important to note about this verse is this: Paul is not speaking about water baptism, okay? What Paul wants us to understand is he's referring to a different baptism, a different immersion, not with water, but a spiritual one, okay? This takes place, if you don't know this, when a person receives Christ into their heart. One of the things that you will discover, and you look back, if you've made Christ the Lord of your life, you can look back on your life and realize before coming to him, you were spiritually dead. Okay? Let me hopefully break it down in a way that we can understand this. We all had life. And I want you to you know, don't pull it out, but I'm just going to use it as an example. Guarantee literally 99.9999% of everybody in here has a cell phone. Don't pull it out. I'm just saying. You have a cell phone. And when you first walked into whatever provider you went to, you walked in and said, I want to buy a cell phone. They bring out this box. They pull out the cell phone. It has power. You can put it in your hand. You can swipe. The phone already has some apps. You can click on them. You can open them up. But what you can't do is call somebody. What you can't do is send a text message to anybody. Why is that? It's not activated, but there's also something else that isn't in the phone yet. Well, number one, it's not yours. Yes, true. But there's this little itty-bitty card. No more SIM cards. Changes the subject now. Well, if you went back into a telephone or a phone store back in the early 2000s, you would have a SIM card. If you didn't have that SIM card, you would no longer be able to operate the phone. You would also need a provider. Then you put the SIM card in, then you get the provider, then you can call, you can utilize the phone to its fullest potential. You guys agree? Yeah. But we came into this world like a cell phone without a SIM card. No way to connect with God, no provider, nothing. You may have had life, but you were not walking around to your fullest potential. But then the moment we accepted Christ, that little SIM card, guess what that's called? The spiritual awakening, the gift of the Holy Spirit that now dwells within you. And because the Spirit now dwells within you, you have access to God no matter where you go. You have the ability to call out to him. You have the ability to be in that wonderful place of living life the way God desired it, according to his will. And so this beautiful thing that we have of being baptized into Christ, it's a spiritual birth. It's a spiritual awakening. This is what Jesus also told Nicodemus: unless you are born again, spiritually born, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So this is, again, the benefit of placing your faith in what Jesus did. You can now receive this amazing blessing of being called out of darkness into his marvelous light. From not walking with God to now you get to walk with God. This is the beautiful blessing that we have to understand spiritual things now, because we have been immersed with God's precious Spirit. And what I pray we would see, just like in baptism, the beautiful symbol of it is what? As we stand there, as we publicly declare that we belong to Jesus, that he is our Lord and Savior, the symbolism behind us being put under the water, completely immersed. And when that takes place, people don't see you. They just see the water. But then when you come up out of that water, you come up in the newness of life that God's given you, a new creation in Christ. So this is the beauty, the benefit of placing your faith in who Christ is. And when it says to put on Christ, this is basically just speaking of us now that we are in Christ. We want to walk with him. We want to do those things that God desires of us. You know, one of the things that I pray that I can maybe share this really quickly and briefly with you. In my life, I never thought I would get the privilege of doing what I'm doing today. Never imagined it. And I was totally content with that. I was a construction worker, and I'll tell you right now, even to this day, hey, when we were doing a little bit of the remodel, I told one of the guys, give me the screw gun, give me some screws, I'll put that sheet up. I don't have a problem going back and putting a tool belt on. It might hurt a little bit, but I'd still do it. I love it, and I would be totally content with building for Jesus for the rest of my life, and I never realized that that could even be a gift considered from God to do for the kingdom of God. So what did God do? Take the gift that I love, instead of building for the casinos, you know, in Las Vegas, now I went out to the Philippines to build an orphanage, to build a Bible college. Hey, I'm still known in Mexico as the one who built the biggest outhouse. Come on now. That's awesome. Whatever those things that God has gifted you with, do you realize that you could use them for the kingdom of God? And so this is a blessing that we've been, again, spiritually awakened. We now have this born again, born alive to God. We're connected with God now. And when we put on Christ, it's literally us desiring to live according to God's will. Lord, take my life and allow me to live for you. And when we put on Christ, when we have that desire, guess what? Whatever you do, people don't see you. They see Jesus. That's what it means to be, you know, to put on Christ. How about verse 28? What's the next blessing that we have through faith in Christ? It is this: there is only one body of Christ. This is beautiful. Even as I get to stand here, look at this crowd. I'm seeing this unfold right now. That there is, listen, though there may be different, listen, nationalities in this room, yes, they're still individual. We have Hispanics, we have whites, we have, you know, African American, we have Indians, we have maybe some Asian, we have some Filipinos. If I'm missing you, it's not by, because I don't want to announce you, I just don't know you. But the reality is we have so many different nationalities in here, and neither one of them are above another. We're all one in Christ. So what is Paul saying? When we're in Christ, in spite of the human differences, we are all unified to him as one body. Again, because of Christ, no one is greater than another. Gentiles are no longer considered outsiders to the promises of God. And what I want you to see is this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 13 says this: for as the body is one and has many members, but also the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is in Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now notice this: whether Jews nor Greeks, whether slaves nor free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. We've all have the same blessings. We're all equal. We all share in the same privileges. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that not only are we blessed, but God shows no favoritism. If you are in Christ, a Jew is not greater than a Gentile, and all of us who are not Jewish are Gentiles. Back in that day, whether you were a free or a slave, it didn't matter. None was greater than another in Christ. Males were not greater or superior than females. Listen, you want to know how you think our culture is messed up today? Do you realize that times haven't changed? Do you want to know what some of the Jewish people were praying? Some of the religious leaders were praying during their prayers to the Lord? This is what some scholars believe and have found throughout different Torahs and things like that, of what some of the prayers that these religious leaders were uttering. And this is one: I thank God that thou hast not made me a Gentile or a slave, or a woman. And these were religious people. So today, times haven't changed. Today, we're hearing of people in our world today that believe that they're either not privileged or privileged, entitled or not entitled. Nobody's entitled to anything. If you ever cry out for justice, let me tell you right now, you're not going to be happy if God gave it to you. Because the reality is all of us deserve destruction, his wrath. because we have all sinned and fallen short of his glory. And so when we look at what the blessing that Paul is pointing out through faith, God shows no favoritism. We're one body. We all have the same spiritual privileges. We all have the same ability to grow in our relationship with the Lord. You know, yesterday at the men's breakfast, I encouraged the guys, listen, we all have been blessed by God. He's given us everything. We are all equal as well. And if you have a desire, you see somebody who you know is more spiritual mature than you, hey, don't get upset. Don't just say, I want that. Dig for it. Make an effort to become more like Christ. And when you see what Paul is saying here, not only are we given all of these privileges, we all have the same spirit dwelling within us. We all have the same Bibles that we read from. We all have the same ability to pray to God. But the problem that I see happening today is that there are many who fail to do those things. God, help us not to be that way. God, help us to take advantage of the blessings that we have. God, help us to bless other people. You know, one of the things that I marvel at when you go through the Bible, and I shared this at the very beginning of the year when we went through Acts chapter 2, when the church was birthed, how God stirred the hearts of many people to take their eyes off of themselves and be willing to share with one another the things that God had blessed them with, giving up of their own resources, giving up of, you know, meals and sharing them with other people. Only God can do a work like that in us, and I pray that he will. And I also pray that we would as well, when we walk into this place, that we do not make it a place with just a bunch of little cliques. I pray that when we walk into this place and when we have new people raising their hands, that we who have been here for a number of years would turn around, welcome them into the fellowship, share your name with them. Hey, if God has blessed you, take them out to lunch. If God has put it upon your heart, hey, look for them the following week when you come. Hey, it's good seeing you again. How about if we have been sitting around with one another and don't say a word to each other at all? And do you realize that even sometimes people who come to the later service could probably be your neighbor and you'd have no idea? Is that how God wants the body of Christ to be? No. And so the reality is we have the opportunity to be a family in this place. And I pray that we would all do that, that we would welcome each other. You know, I know right now, but one of the things that I've introduced to the fellowship was the candlelight service. How many of you guys love that candlelight service? Yeah. But there's also seasons when I just feel that there's an opportunity for us to demonstrate our love for each other. And it's just through a simple prayer of holding hands together. Mm-hmm. Some of you be like, yeah, I ain't holding my hand. I don't even know this person. I don't even hold my wife's hand. You want me to hold somebody else's hand? If we're family, would we have a problem holding hands with your daughter, with your son, with your daughter-in-law, with your cousin, with your aunt, with your uncle? And if we're the body of Christ, don't be all, if I ever say, let's join hands and let's pray. Because it really, really reflects the beauty of who God is and what he wants to do with us as a family of God. Yeah. And we have to remember, if God so loved the world, we should too. Come on now, church, this is important. There's enough ugliness in our world. We don't need to experience it here in this church. We need to extend that love to each other. And so I'm not saying that you have to give everybody a hug. I'm just saying there'll be a time when I'll say, let's all stand and join hands and let's lift up our service. And I pray, you know, nobody will get all offended by it. I love you guys and you're my family. And so that's my heart to you. The other thing that I want to point out here really quickly is this, verse 29. Through faith in Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In other words, believers in Christ today will also inherit, will also receive this amazing inheritance that is given as a birthright to the first sons back in this time and culture. Today, we as Gentiles can receive the beautiful promise of God of everlasting life. The same promise that God made to Abraham and his descendants, the nation of Israel, applies to us today because, again, in Christ, through faith, when you, again, believe in what Jesus did through his death and resurrection, we get the blessing of receiving Jesus. We get the blessing of having this gift of everlasting life. We get the privilege and the blessing to be declared right before God, a son of God. And notice again, it's not because of works, it's because of faith. This has been Paul's point, and I want to also share with you several scriptures. How do we know Paul's speaking the truth? Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How about Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. I want to read this to you. Just listen. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And in the Bible, it has parentheses that says, by grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. This is our inheritance to come in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and kindness, and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Amen. So again, everything that Paul is sharing about the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that it's through faith that we have a right relationship, other scriptures are connecting those dots for us to help us see that this is the truth of the gospel message. And now I want to be able to read verses, chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Let's move on. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by his father. And so as we continue to go on, I'm only going to go up to verse 9, so we got a couple more verses, but notice this. After Paul has expressed these things about what happens, what's the results of those who put their faith in Christ, he now, in verses 1 to 2, switches to an everyday situation as an example to prove his point of what he's been saying. And this whole picture of a child who has received an inheritance from a father, when this child is too young to handle that responsibility, when that child cannot make the decisions or have the freedom to go places as a child, he says, even though this is a true picture, notice this, this child who has received everything, even as a young child, he is not an adult, and at this point in his life, he is actually no different than a slave. What do I mean by that? He doesn't have the freedom to roam around. He doesn't have the freedom to make decisions. He is guarded. He is under the stewardship and the guardian of another. So as this child has been placed under these caretakers, in a sense, it is these guardians and stewards for a specific time will help set this kid up for victory, to help him understand the responsibilities that he would have as the new lead of the home, as the one overseeing his father's estate, knowing all of those responsibilities as the future master of the home, they would raise him up to do it well. So then when the child becomes an adult, what happens then? The guardians and the stewards are no longer leaded. So what happens when that point comes? Those stewards, those guardians then have a big ceremony. And in that ceremony, what do? They give him new clothing. They give him a new a robe or a yoga, a toga is what it's called. And then that outfit represents that he's no longer a child, but he is now the new master of the estate. So it's a huge celebration that happened in that time and in that culture. And so by using this example, now I want us to pick up in verse 3. He says this, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So what is Paul saying here? Even so we, in a similar way to this example I just gave you, of a child who is too young and has stewards over him to help manage his father's estate until at an appropriate time, even so we, in a similar way, when we were children, we were under the bondage of the elements of this world. In other words, when we were all spiritually dead before Christ. We were all under these basic principles. How many of us can be honest today and say, man, my wife, my life, my life looked way different than it does now that I know Christ. Oh, praise the Lord for those of you who raised your hand. And for those of you who didn't, there's still, you're a work in progress. We're all good. We're all a work in progress, so we're all learning, right? But listen, our life should look completely different. Like, so you guys know already, I grew up too fast. Went to clubs, drank beer, looked for women, did everything that I shouldn't be doing. That was the past. Now, I only have one wife. Praise the Lord. I've been married for 35 years. I'm not going to the clubs anymore. I'm coming to church. I'm no longer wanting to do the wiggy, wiggy, wiggy thing. I'm a pastor now. Complete opposite. I'm no longer striving after the bigger and better. My prayer now is, Lord, just give me my daily bread. My life looks completely different. But I was drawn by those things of the world as a child who didn't know any better. That's who we were before Christ. And so not only were we there, but I want you to see this again, because it's not my opinion. I want you to see it from the scriptures. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We already read verses 4 to 9, but I want us to read verses 1 to 3. Because this is where we once were. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who is the enemy, who is Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So when we didn't know any better, when we were still under that similar situation of being a child and needing stewardship, what happened? Who was that steward? It was the law that came in. It was the law that was the tutor to point out what sin was and then to point us to Jesus. But then when the fullness of time came, when we would become a born-again believer, it was in God's perfect timing that he sent Jesus, his only begotten son, into this world. For what reason? To save us. To give us that opportunity to no longer be under a tutor. That we would now get a chance to be clothed in Christ, to become a new creation in Christ, to now living out God's will. This is the beauty of what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. So in verse 5, notice Paul once again to prove his point. Why did Jesus come? Why was he, brought into this world through a virgin birth? He came specifically to redeem us. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might now receive the adoption as sons. Listen, we were once walking away from God, doing everything that we just read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, far away from God. And when God made an impact in our hearts and we confessed and we received him as our Lord and Savior, now we get to walk with God. And the beauty that we have today is we've been set free from sin, that we now have the ability to be a part of God's family. And again, the person that we need to thank the most is Jesus, because he did it all. Notice verse 6, And because you are sons, now that we've received this amazing gift, this blessing, God has sent forth his Holy Spirit into our hearts. God has given us his living spirit. And because he now dwells within us, it is that living newness of life. It is being a new creation in Christ that now our hearts clearly confess who he is in our life. He is Abba Father. He is, you know, Jesus our Lord. He is God in the flesh. That's what God's Spirit does, reveals to us who he really is. And I love this because as he goes on, notice verse 7, therefore, because of this truth, you are no longer a slave, but you are a son or a child of God. And a son, listen carefully, and if a son, we have an inheritance waiting for us in heaven. What I want us to see here really quickly is this. If you go back to chapter 4, notice the way that Paul pins this. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Again, bringing it back to the beautiful truth, it is all through faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And as you look at this, Jesus, in a nutshell, came to save all of humanity so that we can all be with God for an eternity. This is the true message of the gospel. Jesus paid it all. He did it all so that we can receive all. That's what Jesus did. Now let's close this by picking up in verse 8 and 9. Notice what it says. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those by nature that are not God's. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? And we're going to stop here, but what did Paul want us to understand? What was he doing in these two last verses? Paul was pointing the church back again to their past. I want you just to think about this. Before Christ, you were slaves to false gods. And these false gods didn't even exist. The things that you did were in vain. You worshiped things. You worshiped those things that were created instead of the Creator. And you worshiped them because why? You didn't know the one and only true God. That's who we were before. But notice in verse 9, but now that you know God, now that you know the gospel, now that you know the truth of who Jesus is, he says this, I have a question to ask you. Why are you turning backwards? Why are you going back to those things that you were once enslaved to? Why are you going back to those things that are in this world, knowing that those things of the world are only temporary? Why are you desiring to give all of your time back to things that have no eternal value? Remember who you are. You are a child of God. And so this morning, what is it that I pray we would take away from this message? What is it that I pray we would see and how it can come to life for us today? And I believe the greatest thing for us is to thank the Lord for the blessings that we have in Christ. Because through faith, again, notice the blessings. We've been called sons of God. We've been baptized. We've been born again. We've been given his spirit that dwells within us. There's no longer such thing as a division within the church. There's only one body. God shows no favoritism. We all belong here. The next thing is we got an amazing inheritance that, again, outweighs anything here on this earth. Thank God for that this week. Spend some time praising him for this. But I also want to challenge us, now that we are in Christ, don't turn back. Don't turn back to those things that God set you free from. If you and I are not careful, a little compromise turns into big compromise. A little sin in our life turns into big sin. Those sins that we kept as a secret that we wanted nobody to know, the more that we do them, the more we then go from not even caring and doing things out in the open. We need to be careful that we do not allow, as the scripture says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, we need to be careful that when we find ourselves falling into sin, that we check our hearts and cut it off immediately. I'm pretty sure this illustration is going to make some sense. But if you were to have a block of cheese put in your refrigerator and you don't eat it quickly, and over time you start noticing that block of cheese has a little starts off with a little white dot. And then that little white dot turns into a black dot. Then that black dot starts turning into an ugly black greenish dot. And it's no longer a little dot. What does it do? It starts consuming the whole cheese. To the point, if you leave it alone, there ain't gonna be no more cheese. It's just gonna be a block of mold. And the reality is, that's what happens if we allow sin to go unchecked in our hearts. So my biggest challenge for us today, if Paul is saying, you've been blessed with all of these things, this is who you once were, this is what God saved you from, you're no longer a slave to those sins, then why are you going back? And so my question to us today and the challenge is, are there things in our past that we are still holding on to? Are there things in our life today that we continue to do knowing that they're not pleasing to God? Some of you might have difficulty with music. Some of you, I got to stop doing this in church because people might start believing me. But I make fun of music at times. Now don't get mad. But sometimes I've made the mistake of saying, I just don't like country music. I'm sorry, I'm not into it. I can listen to jazz, I can listen to oldies, I can listen to rap, I can listen to other stuff. I can listen to Spanish music and I don't even understand it. But there's just something about country music that just like, hey. But that's just me. And I can pray for me, okay? Just pray for me. But how about understanding and knowing, just even with the simple illustration of music and what we listen to, do you realize that the music you listen to can still plant seeds in you? So we got to be careful with whatever music we listen to. How about movies? I mean, it's bad enough you can't even watch a sports event today because every commercial has something to do with sex, or at the halftime there's girls dancing on poles or whatever. And we laugh at it, but it's true. Go back and watch an episode of Little House on the Prairie and tell me how they're dressed. And then watch whatever program that's going on today and tell me if you don't see a difference. I'm just using that as an example. Don't go and watch it. But my point is this, are there things in our past that we think they're not that big of a deal? Oh, don't be so legalistic about it, Pastor. I could listen to whatever music I want. Yes, you're right. You have a free will to do whatever you want, but is it healthy for you? Because again, a little compromise here turns into bigger compromises. I'm going to tell all of my young brothers out there right now, if you are watching movies today that show nudity, you are two steps away, two, three decisions away from actually watching porn. And I also want to encourage the young ladies with that, because young ladies are also having problems with porn. My wife and I have committed to doing this, and I've been married with her for over 35 years. And whenever I see something on the TV that is a passionate kiss or something that I need to turn my head, I will close my eyes. Why? Because I don't want that image in my head. And I have enough respect and love for my wife not to do that in front of her. We need to be up and above approach when these things happen. When somebody comes into your house, do you have to hide the videos that you have on your counter? I hope not. If so, let's clean some house. Why hold on to it? Is there anything in your past? And I'm not here to condemn. I'm just here to speak truth to you, because if there is, remember the danger. It can slowly creep you back into that old way. So what do we need to do? If there is things in our life right now that are hindering us from moving, you know, stronger and closer to the Lord in our walk, 1 John 1:9 says, confess it. And God will be faithful to forgive you. Not only forgive you, but cleanse you from all unrighteousness, whatever that sin is, and put you back in fellowship with Him. Not only do we need to confess it, the other thing that we need to do is forsake it. Ask God for help to not repeat it. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 tells us, you conceal sin, you hide sin, don't expect mercy. But when you confess, you'll receive mercy and you'll get the ability to forsake that sin because God will be there faithfully to help you. The next challenge I want us is this. Don't ever move backwards, but move forward. It's important that we stay moving forward in our relationship with the Lord. We looked at Philippians chapter 3 a couple of weeks ago. Paul said this, I don't quite understand how it's going to work. I don't comprehend it all, but this is my goal. This is my desire. Forgetting those things that are behind me, and I press forward toward the goal that Christ Jesus took hold of me. Move forward in your relationship with the Lord. If you find yourself right now and your relationship is dry with the Lord, let me ask you a couple questions. How's your quiet time? How's your prayer time? How's your time of serving the Lord? How's your time of having fellowship with other like-minded believers? If all of those answers are negative answers, there's probably a good reason why you feel dry, because you're not feeding your soul. The new nature that we have needs to be fed. And we feed it by getting into the Word. We feed it by praying, by keeping that relationship strong with the Lord. This is our responsibility, guys. Let's keep moving forward. And the other thing that I want to encourage us so that we don't turn back to the things of this world, set your mind, set your heart and your mind on things above. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Again, this place is not our home. And there is no earthly treasure, there is no earthly entertainment that will ever compare to what we are getting ready to inherit with being with God for all eternity. Amen. You know, I shared with you guys about Marisa's nephew. And last night, Marisa was talking with me because she went to be with the family and she was helping them to do the celebration of life and organize it and everything. And the parents of Antonio, who passed away, were telling Marisa that the doctors came into the hospital room and asked Antonio if he wanted to try and pursue another newer medication for him. And he's all like, nope. And then when his parents asked him, you know, just out of curiosity, why did you say no? He said, before, I had no idea what was going to happen to me after I died. But after I prayed, I now know where I'm going. Did you hear that? I was afraid of what I didn't know about. I was afraid because I didn't want to be alone. I was afraid, don't know what's going to happen once I leave this earth. But when you keep your heart and your mind set, and you believe and you put your faith in Christ Jesus, there is a real reward coming for you. And you will not be alone. You will never experience illness. You'll never experience corruption. You'll never experience having to say goodbye to anybody. You'll be with God for all eternity in a perfect place that is hard for us to imagine because of the corrupt, fallen world that we are living in right now. When you anchor down and understand the truth that we have in Christ through faith, you will discover there is nothing that any of us could ever do to enter into the kingdom of God. It is through God's grace. It is because of what Jesus did. And as the scripture said, it is by grace that we are saved, not of any works lest we should boast, but it is a gift from God. That is the true gospel. Can I get an amen? Worship team, come forward. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning, and I want to thank you for this time. And I pray, God, that you would continue to help all of us, Lord, grow in our faith. For in Christ, we have many blessings. In Christ, we've received the amazing privilege of being a part of God's family. It is through Christ and Christ alone that we can be set free from sin and receive this gift of everlasting life. And so I pray today, Lord, that as you continue to teach us and show us the truth of what your word is revealing, I pray that every heart would receive it and believe it and call upon Jesus as their own personal Lord and Savior. And today, for my brothers and sisters out there who believe, may your desire be today that there would be more of Jesus in you and less of you, that we would all surrender and continue to move forward in our relationship with Christ. So God, I pray your spirit be poured upon my brothers and sisters and give them the power and the ability to say no to sin today so that they may live in the center of your will. And now as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to invite anybody, maybe you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And I just want to encourage you through faith in what Jesus did is an amazing reward to be with God for all eternity. Jesus came to save us from a penalty of sin that we rightfully deserved. And because he willingly sacrificed his life, he took your place and he took my place. And he took all of our wrongs and all of our sins and he paid the price for them for us. And today we now have the ability not only to be forgiven, but be brought back into a right relationship with God. And when the moment you believe, what we discover today in the scriptures, God's willing to do for you. When you believe, God will help come into your life and give you his precious spirit to help you live according to his word. To live a life that is going to be set apart for him. And then you, in your own heart, can have peace, knowing that this place is not your home, but there's a reward to be with God for all eternity in heaven. And nobody can take that away from you. So if this is you this morning and you say, Pastor, I want Jesus. I want to be set free from sin. I don't want to live in my old ways anymore. I don't want the things of this world to rip me off of the blessings that I could receive in Christ. If this is you today, I want to encourage you, just slip up your hand right where you're at. And it would be awesome to lead you in a prayer to receive Christ. That you could walk out of here at peace knowing I don't have to worry about where I'm going to be at the end of my life, because I am putting my trust in Jesus and I'm going to receive my inheritance. And if this is you, again, just slip up your hand. Praise God, I see your hand toward the back. Anyone else? Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for those who were brave enough to raise their hands. For those who did, I just want to encourage you. You're making the best decision ever. And maybe if you're here this morning and you wanted to, but maybe you were afraid of who would see your hand go up, can I just encourage you with something? You can still pray, because it's not your hand that saves you, it's your heart. Surrendering it to God and believing again in what Jesus did will give you the opportunity to be made right with God. So I want to invite anybody here this morning, if you want to make that prayer sincere between you and God and you want to receive Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior, just repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world. That he came into this world to save all of humanity. So God, I come before you and I confess that I sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith and my sins can be forgiven. And I'm at peace with you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. God, would you, from this day forward, come into my life and teach me your ways. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. One of the things that I can recall before coming to Christ was going to church services and seeing a crowd of people and having that struggle whether or not I want to walk forward or whether I want to receive Christ. And I just want to share this with you because I believe that there's some here today that need Jesus. And I'm not, we all need Jesus. Please understand that. We all do. But I understand that awkwardness or that, like, I've never been in church and I don't know what to expect and why they do this. And I just want you to know, been there, done that. But I also know the rewarding part of praying and receiving Jesus. And when I answered an altar call, the pastor asked people to come forward. And it wasn't to embarrass you or to shame you. It was to rejoice with you. Because we had all one time made that decision ourselves, and we understand the beauty of that walk coming forward, that all the things that we've ever done have been let go. We've been forgiven. And so today, I just feel led by the Lord to do this. For those of you who prayed, whether you raised your hand or not, I want to ask you just to do me a favor and stand on up and walk forward, because then I'm going to point you over to Pastor Guy and we're just going to give you a Bible. If you'll be willing and brave enough to do that, the clapping is going to be because we're rejoicing with you. Not shaming you, not embarrassing you, but we're here to testify to what God is doing. So if you made that prayer today sincere between you and God, stand on up, come forward, and we want to rejoice with you. And I'm going to wait just a minute because we have another service coming. Father, I do believe that you are the greatest gift ever. And I do thank you for those who did pray. I thank you for those who cried out to you in their hour. And so I want to say thank you, Jesus, for moving within our service. I want to thank you for drawing hearts to you, and thank you for, again, we know that whenever a person believes that there's rejoicing happening in heaven, so we praise you and we are praising the angels as well, or praising alongside the angels, rejoicing in the hearts that received you. And so, Lord God, today we seek you and you alone. Continue to work in and through our lives. God bless your people today. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, let's all stand. Again, during the course of worship, if you want to come forward, Pastor Guy will still be there to minister to you and give you a Bible. If you need any prayer today, we're going to have a prayer team up here that would love to be able to lift up your needs before the Lord. God bless you all. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep moving forward. He loves you guys, and so do I.